Interested in the travel and hospitality industry? Want an insider's perspective on the Kellogg MBA program? Listen in to this interview with Libby Angst, travel industry veteran and brand new Kellogg MBA. Welcome to the 269th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm accepted!" Not only accepted, but accepted to the best program for you. This podcast is brought to you by Accepted's MBA Admissions Consulting. If you want to access experience and expertise, save time, and optimize your application, visit accepted.com/get-in. I also want to point out that Accepted is going to raise its prices on August 1. You can get current rates on any purchase made on or before July 31st. Our guest today is Libby Angst, who recently joined Accepted's team of MBA admissions consultants. However, she is here today mostly in her capacity as recent Kellogg grad and newly minted alum. Libby arrived at Kellogg with extensive experience in the travel industry, including 4 years at Four Seasons Hotel and Resorts, where she was awarded America's Salesperson of the Year after only 3 years with the company. She also worked at TravelClick and interned last summer with JLL in their hotels and hospitality group. While at Kellogg, she served on the Student Admissions Committee and became its co-chair in her second year at Kellogg. Libby, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Linda.
My pleasure. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background, you know, where you grew up, that kind of stuff?
Sure. So I grew up in a suburb about 45 minutes north of Chicago. I went to a high school that was in Winnetka named New Trier, and it was a very large high school with over 1,000 students in my graduating class.
Mm-hmm.
And so with a class so
large,
big, it was important. Yeah,
it's
huge.
Yeah.
And so with a class so big, it was important for me to find a niche beginning in high school. So mine was playing on the tennis team, volunteering with organizations around Chicago, and my big activity growing up was policy debating on a national circuit with my high school's varsity debate team.
Wow.
Before I ended up going to Northwestern for undergrad.
Wow. I won't get into an argument with you. So you went to Northwestern. How did you end up in the hospitality industry? Did you choose it, or did it choose you, or how did that happen?
I think it was a little bit of both. During high school and college, I always had odd jobs in the service industry. So one of them was working at a high-end boutique folding and selling clothes. And I also worked as a tennis instructor at a nearby country club. So both required me to deliver a high level of service to discerning customers when I was in my teenage formative years. And in college, I developed a passion for traveling after I studied abroad in Madrid my junior year, which was my first trip to Europe. And when I came back, I really wanted to learn more about the ins and outs of the hotel industry from, you know, a highly regarded luxury chain. So luckily, Four Seasons Hotels and Resorts had a worldwide sales office that hired me as an intern for 2 summers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, they qualify definitely as a high-end hotel chain, that's for sure. And so you were with Four Seasons. You were then with, I guess, more of an internet hospitality entity, right, called TravelClick.
Mm-hmm.
TravelClick. How did that progress, and why did you decide to get an MBA?
Yeah, so while I had been working for Four Seasons, in their property down in Palo Alto, I began using a lot of the TravelClick products in order to help me achieve my sales goals. So a lot of them were benchmarking our hotel's performance against the competitive set. And so I used the tools in order to find out times of the year when I could charge higher rates to my corporate and group clients in order to meet my goals.
Uh-huh.
And so after a number of years of using their products, I had developed a relationship with our TravelClick representative and began exploring opportunities at that company in a sales role where I would be able to work with some of their enterprise customers, so large hotel chains, and teach them how the TravelClick products could add value to their company.
Sure.
So that's how I ended up at TravelClick. And while I was at TravelClick working with a lot of the big hotel brands in marketing and sales and revenue management consulting capacities, I began working a lot with asset managers. So individuals that were helping find areas to improve in hotels in order to increase revenue. Uh-huh. And I realized that the real estate side of the hotel business was not something that I knew too much about, but was probably one of the most important things to know in order to progress my career inside the hotel industry. And so after working at TravelClick for 2 years, I realized that I needed to learn more about this side of the business. And because I was a liberal arts major and didn't ever receive a ton of formal training in finance, I realized that I needed to earn an MBA in order to transition into this side of the business in order to progress my career.
I see. What do you think are some of the more distinctive elements of the hospitality and travel industries?
What do you mean by distinctive?
Well, I would have said unique, but that's such an overused word. I decided to go with distinctive. I mean,
okay.
Let's say, you know, tech is known for lots of different things, but one would be, you know, I don't know, casual attire. Luxury goods is mm-hmm. the exact opposite. I don't know.
So, like, what makes it different from all other industries? Is that Okay. Yeah, I think that one thing that makes hotels very different is that it is immediate impacts from the economy. So, you know, where you're looking at typical real estate that might charge tenants who are corporate customers a yearly rent or have them sign, you know, a yearly or even a 10-year long tenancy, and somebody who lives in an apartment building a one-year long tenant agreement or lease, hotels are looking at, you know, signing essentially 24-hour lease agreements with customers. So they're extremely sensitive to things that are going on in the economy. And the well-being of a hotel can shift quite literally from each month to month based on how the economy is doing. And so one of the things that hotels really need to do in the space is to, you know, have a very firm grasp on what's going on the micro level of the economy, and then also be very tuned into what's going on in the international travel industry as well, because there's, you know, quite an extensive amount of travel that's coming into the States from other places, including Europe and China, that are seeing robust changes and growth in transient travel in the middle class. And so I think that those are kind of two unique aspects of the hotel industry. And I think maybe the third one is really being in tune with the changing desires of customers that are traveling. You know, you saw, you know, over the decades, people's desires have really changed from wanting to have private spaces and loads of individual amenities to people looking for, you know, smaller spaces, but shared communal amenities and opportunities to meet new people while they're on the road. New inventions like Airbnb that are disrupting the hotel industry in the last 5-10 years. And so I think that that's another thing that hoteliers need to be very tuned into, and it makes it very different from some of the other industries that you see.
Okay, that was a fascinating answer. Thank you. I would assume there's mm-hmm. also an international element to travel and, mm-hmm. and hospitality that you won't necessarily have in many, many other industries. Increasingly,
sure.
You know, the world is international, but certainly travel and hotels, it's even more so. How did you happen to pick Kellogg? Why Kellogg?
Yeah, so I think that there were a couple of reasons why I selected Kellogg. The first was that I wanted to work my way back to Chicago. I grew up in this area, and immediately after graduating Northwestern as an undergrad, I worked my way out to San Francisco and worked in Palo Alto, and then moved across the country to New York City. So I think I was looking to come back to the Midwest. The second reason why I picked Chicago was because they have a Guthrie Center for Real Estate, which I knew would provide me with a Kellogg ecosystem that supported me entering the hotel real estate industry. And that included, you know, access to connected and highly influential alumni, rigorous class curriculums that could help me get up to speed with everything I needed to know in order to be a successful candidate coming out of the program, clubs with workshops, trainings, and industry treks that would expose me to different companies and give me the opportunity to participate in on-campus recruiting. And then I think the third reason why I picked Kellogg was because each time I visited the class, or like each time I visited campus or spoke with prior or present students at Kellogg, I always admired that they were very low ego but high impact students, people that were very humble about their achievements, which were extremely impressive. And that was the type of classmates that I wanted to surround myself with when I was thinking about different MBA programs.
Now, when you got to Kellogg, you were a liberal arts major, as you mentioned. I think it was Spanish and English, right?
Or history.
History.
Okay. Spanish and history.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have any difficulty with the math requirements?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was not something that I couldn't overcome, but I did see myself struggling to master concepts at the same speed that many of my other classmates were able to, given that they had come from finance backgrounds in undergraduate, in their undergraduate studies, or they had, you know, immediately been working in the finance or accounting industry immediately before coming to Kellogg. And so with the math requirements, both at Kellogg and prior to Kellogg, I definitely had to put in more effort than I think the typical mathematically minded student had to.
But you handled it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you consider taking like a math boot camp before campus, before classes actually started, before orientation, or does Kellogg offer that?
So Kellogg did not offer a formal math boot camp prior to Kellogg, other than there was a 1 week long program that you could enroll in immediately before classes started that would help jumpstart you in the analytics class that we would be taking the first quarter as students.
Mm-hmm.
I did contemplate taking some online courses through Coursera, which I had started, but it was difficult for me to balance right before Kellogg since I continued working through the end of the month of July. And so my August was jam-packed with moving from New York to Evanston, getting all things in order before enrolling full time.
What are the advantages and disadvantages that you see in attending the same attending the graduate program on the same campus where you went undergrad? You went to Northwestern undergrad. You went to the Northwestern.
It was a really good question. So I think a very strong advantage to attending the same program for both undergrad and grad school is that you add to the already strong connection that you had with your undergrad alma mater by attending their graduate school program.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt throughout my time at Kellogg an enormous sense of pride that I had went to Northwestern as an undergrad as well. So I think that just kind of reinforces your connection and reconnects you with the school that you may have not been as involved with since your graduation. I think a disadvantage is that you're not going to give yourself an opportunity to live in and experience a different city if you go to the same undergrad and grad school program. So for me, this was a little bit less of an issue because I was looking to get back to the Chicago area after living in San Francisco and New York immediately after graduating Northwestern. But I think that, this might be something to consider if you're a potential MBA student that has not left the city that you were in as an undergrad. It might be a good thing to think about in order to experience a different city and get to know new people and new places.
Right. As it happens, I also did my undergrad and MBA at the same school. In my case, it was UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the conventional wisdom is that you're better off going to a different program because you then have a different network and, you live in a different city, et cetera. You experience, you brought on your experience basically. But for me, it worked. I didn't have any regrets.
Did you feel that your undergrad and grad school networks were the same or different? Because I kind of felt like mine were different, even though I went to the same undergrad and grad school.
They were completely different. They were completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think perhaps if one is going to be very active in both alumni groups, then there is some benefit in terms of networking, of widening your network, if you will, to going to two different programs. What you know, I chose UCLA the second time around for strictly personal reasons. I was dating the man very seriously who became my husband for the last 40 years.
So, that's a good reason.
Yeah. So I didn't want, and I was also accepted at Wharton. I didn't want a long distance relationship at that point in time. So I just said, you know, priorities. And I went to UCLA. That it worked out just fine for me. I was very happy there. Again, the conventional wisdom, what I hear most often is encouraging applicants, students to go to different programs. And it's just, it's interesting that both of us are on the call. We both went against the conventional wisdom. I don't, you know, again, I'm happy with the outcome and my reasons for doing so. We're pretty compelling. In your sense, you wanted to move back to Chicago. So it made sense for you.
Yeah.
What did you like best about the Kellogg MBA program?
So I think this is a tough question, but I think, you know, I've gotten asked this question a lot. And so one of the things I liked best about the program was probably the Kellogg Board Fellows program that I was a part of the 2 years that I was an MBA student. And so the Kellogg Board Fellows program is a program that gives MBA candidates the opportunity to serve on the board of a local nonprofit in the Chicagoland area. And they match students with organizations based on their areas of strength, but also their specific interests in nonprofits and the types of nonprofits there are. So for me, I was paired with a nonprofit called the Knight Ministry, which provides healthcare, housing, and human connection to homeless youth and the homeless in Chicago. And so that was something that I wanted to get involved with while I was back in Chicago, which is where I grew up. This program couples a classroom experience where you learn about board governance over the course of 2 years, and it also gives you a seat on to serve on the board of a nonprofit. So you're getting both in and out of the classroom experience to prepare students for board service after they graduate. So part of this program for me was volunteering with my nonprofit, attending board of directors meetings, subcommittee meetings, as well as working on a project of value to the nonprofit. So for me, I did a financial analysis on one of the nonprofit programs that would assist them in assessing costs for the next fiscal year. So I found it to be incredibly rewarding. I knew that I wanted board service to be a part of my experience at Kellogg, and I knew that coming out of the program, I wanted to not only have Kellogg further my professional career, but also further what I would be able to give in terms of service to a nonprofit, which I knew would be a really important part of the type of person that I wanted to be after leaving Kellogg.
Great. Okay. What do you think could be improved about the Kellogg MBA program?
You know, to be honest, I left the Kellogg MBA program pretty satisfied. So this is kind of a tough question, but there's always room for improvement in any program. And so I think the one that comes to the top of my mind is I think that Kellogg's have done a better job outlining ways to prepare students for recruitment prior to getting to Evanston and starting the program. And what I mean by this is I think that, you know, you're told as an incoming first-year student that you're going to be pulled in a million different directions. But I don't think that you're as prepared as you should be going into Kellogg for the recruitment process that starts almost immediately once you get on campus. Kellogg works on a quarter system, so we start much later than a lot of the other programs that are starting earlier in August. Our classes don't really get into full swing until the middle of September. And so by that point in time, a lot of companies have already gone to a lot of campuses and begun recruiting events, dinners, and workshops for students. And I think that if Kellogg had outlined ways that students could use some of their downtime during the summer, if they, you know, took the summer off or had some time when things were wrapping up at work, to be able to focus on getting help with their resume, interview questions, doing fit prep, or even casing, I think that that would have been a very beneficial way that Kellogg could have served students even before they set foot on campus. And that certainly could be improved.
Interesting answer. Okay, so it had to do basically with prepping you for the recruiting that was going to start as soon as you got there your first year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's a very interesting feedback. Some programs do have that. They'll be doing career assessments and 360 reviews, you know, before anybody sets foot on campus as preparation for the internship search. But okay, now you were attending school full time and kind of taking some quant muscles out of hibernation. You were prepping, you know, doing the job search thing. You were volunteering extensively. And you also decided to serve on the student admissions committee at Kellogg. What did you do there, since you were obviously very bored and didn't have what to fill your time with?
Yeah, so from day one, Kellogg really encourages students as part of their experience at the school to find and get involved with at least one way to give back to the school in whatever form that might be for you. So for me, it was becoming involved in the Student Admissions Readers Committee, which is reading applications of prospective students and applicants, and giving the school the student perspective on whether or not that candidate is viewed as somebody who would enrich the overall Kellogg experience, you know, whether or not I would like to see them in the classroom with me. And I think that they would, you know, enrich the experience for everyone at Kellogg. And so as part of that, basically received training at the beginning of my first year on how Kellogg evaluates applicants, the specific leadership, coursework, and intellectual qualities that we think would set people up for success for being great candidates for the school. And then throughout the year, for round 1, 2, and 3, reading applications and providing feedback to the school on whether or not we think that they would be a good applicant and prospective student to join the Kellogg student body.
What surprised you about the experience? I mean, you've just been successfully accepted. Was there something about the work that really surprised you? Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that there were a few things that surprised me about the experience. I think that the first one was that you always know that applying to business school is a very competitive process. Like, you see the application admittance rate, but actually reading the applications and seeing the high number of quality applicants really surprised me, because I knew the bar was high, but I didn't really know how high the bar really was until I was seeing the really high applicants that were applying to Kellogg and really reading other people's applications for myself. Like, up until that point, I had maybe, you know, just seen my application and a few of my friends, but I didn't really realize that, you know, the application pool is really competitive. So that was the first thing. And then I think that the second thing that surprised me about the experience is just really the high number of international students that are applying from really all over the world. And I thought that was really interesting to see how different their work experience, their undergrad experience, and their extracurricular experiences were compared to, you know, the things that I had done in the United States, and then also how many things were very similar. And so I think that was a very interesting and surprising experience for me.
What motivated you? I mean, you said that you were encouraged to give back and you chose this particular way. Why this particular way?
For me, I think it tied back to the fact that I went to Northwestern as an undergrad. And so I always felt very connected to the university and felt, I felt that after a few years of attending undergrad, I found how important it is to find people that are a good fit for the program, because then you see them continually giving back to the ecosystem, and whether or not that's hiring Northwestern undergrads or speaking to them about prospective job avenues or giving up time to, you know, attend events or speak to events. And so I think that I wanted to get involved with the application process because I wanted to give feedback to the school and find applicants who were really like meant to be at Kellogg and would really enjoy the experience and give back, so that after they left Kellogg, they would be of high value giving back into the ecosystem. And so I think that I really chose this area because I always enjoyed I always enjoyed reading. I was a history major, and I just felt very connected with finding applicants that were a good fit for the school.
Right. Okay. And this next question is pretty similar to the one I asked just a minute ago about what surprised you about the experience. But did you learn anything either about, other than the fact that they're highly qualified, your colleagues and the potential students, was there something that you learned about admissions that you really didn't understand before you served on the committee? I don't know if there's something in addition to what you just said, but.
Yeah. So one step further is one thing I learned as a result of the experience is the application pool is so competitive that the majority of the applicants really fall into two buckets. And I didn't really know this before serving on the committee. The first bucket is applicants who are just barely making it into the program. And the other bucket is applicants who are just barely not making it into the program. And so I think what I really learned from serving on the admissions committee is there's just not a lot of room, if any, room for error with your application, with how strong and impressive candidates are and the fact that the majority of the applicants are really falling so close to the middle of whether or not they're going to get in or they're not.
That's a really interesting point. The difference between some accepted and some rejected applicants is very small.
It's extremely small.
Right. Okay. Just a little bit more about you. What do you still play tennis? What do you like to do for fun?
Yeah, so I still do like to play tennis. Now that I'm back in the Midwest, I've taken up paddle tennis, which is tennis that you can play during all seasons of the year outside on heated courts.
Okay.
So that's been something that I like to do for fun. But another thing that I love to do for fun is I love to read about and make espresso and other coffee drinks. So I'm a self-taught barista.
Okay.
Taking classes on latte art. And I have just read a book called The Monk of Mocha, which is all about the Yemenese coffee industry. And so those are two things that I love to do for fun.
Okay. Very interesting. What do you wish I had asked you?
So one thing that I wish that you had asked me a little bit more about was the coursework at Kellogg and anything outside of my extracurriculars that I found to be particularly meaningful while I was in the program.
Go for it.
So for me, one of the most rewarding and fun experiences while I was at Kellogg was being part of an immersive global program called Gym China. And it was the opportunity for students to take a class about an emerging market for one quarter. So I took one about China. And so you take a whole class about an emerging market, and then you are assigned a topic to research where you are researching it and then setting up interviews in the actual country when you go there for 2 weeks over spring break. So I did a project on ecotourism in China and the viability of whether or not that would be successful in a country with so many people and one that was struggling with so many environmental issues. And
yeah.
So we spent 2 weeks on a trip that was completely organized by Kellogg across 5 different cities in China. And we were responsible for setting up interviews with local business people in China and then putting together a research paper about this topic. And to be honest, it was one of the most fun, rewarding, and educational experiences that I had at Kellogg and honestly was a defining class for me throughout the program.
How was it defining?
Well, I think first it exposed me to a different culture that I really didn't know that much about. And it gave me a lot of different perspectives inside of that culture through their business, their culture, their people, as well as the sites and history that we learned through the classroom. And then second of all, the class was filled with 25 students that I didn't know that well. And so through the course of being on the trip and in the classroom and doing all this research with them, it gave me a very unique opportunity to get to know 25 of my classmates in a very different capacity than I would have had I not been on a trip with them for 2 weeks.
So do you think such an ecological trip is viable in China or not?
So we think that it's viable, or at least our project argued that we thought it was viable, that there are a lot of individual and NGOs that are spearheading this effort in China, but it's going to be a long road ahead. Just there's so many people and so many different regulations and priorities going competing in China that it's definitely not at the forefront. It's on the forefront of business practices, but we think that as the globe evolves and business practices need to evolve with along with the needs of the world, that it's going to become a priority and will have to become a priority.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fascinating. I've never been to China. I understand it's an absolutely beautiful country.
Oh, it was amazing. It was, the food was great. It was fun to see the sights. The people are so kind. It was really an amazing place. Hope we get there someday.
I hope so too. Libby, I think we're running out of time. I want to thank you very, very much for joining me for this podcast, number 269. Listeners, thank you too for joining us today. If you'd like to work with Libby on your Kellogg MBA applications or on other elite schools' applications, I'll link from the show notes at exhibit.com/269 to both Libby's Contact Me page and our service descriptions, as well as to other related resources and previous podcast episodes. And a last reminder, you can beat Exhibit's upcoming price increase if you purchase on or before July 31st. Listener, if you found this show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at Exhibit.com/269. This is Mission Straight Talk, produced by Exhibit, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by PodcastThemes.com.